Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Fluently Forward. I am so very excited to have on the co-hosts of the Bizarre AF podcast, Kevin and Alicia. Welcome to the show. How are you guys doing?
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
We are so stoked.
So excited. Obviously, we're recording here in Denver. You guys are my local podcast friends here. And I got into your podcast recently because you guys cover conspiracies, but also a mixture of like history, lore, and you talk about it in a way that isn't insane. And like, but also, I hate so many of the conspiracy debunking podcasts because they don't have fun with it. And you guys do it. It's such a great mix. And if anyone's watching on YouTube, you'll see that we are in full Renaissance fair garb because over on your podcast, we did an episode all about the Tudors. So everybody should go check that one out. Before we dive in, what's your favorite conspiracy theory? I'd love to know from both of you.
Ooh. Kevin, do you have a fave?
You know, I kind of like the DIA conspiracies because there's so many of them.
Yeah. The Denver airport.
The Denver airport. Yeah. And they're so random and some of them are so effing stupid. And it just takes you down these weird rabbit holes. Like one of them was how JonBenet Ramsey was tied into the DIA conspiracy. I mean, they get nuts.
She's inside the horse, you know?
Exactly.
And you live pretty close to the airport.
Yeah, just a hop skip.
Have you guys done an episode?
We have.
Okay.
We have.
Check that out. I feel like we need to do another one.
Yeah, no, that definitely can be a part two.
It can be two.
Or a vlog where, like, you go and go you're over. Like, we're going downstairs. I know that there's a downstairs and we're going.
Yes,
behind
for
the
sure.
secret gargoyle.
Alicia, what's your favorite theory?
Gosh, I love all conspiracy theories, honestly. Like, the weirder, the better, almost. What got me into conspiracy theories was the Kennedy assassination stuff.
Yes, a classic.
Classic, and, like, that's the magic part of it, where you're like, okay, there's something to this. There's some kind of, like, it seems like there's something that is hidden. Mm-hmm. But I do love the alien conspiracy theories.
Yes.
Like, give me, like, a tall Nordic white. Give me a reptilian. Give me, like, reptilian politicians. Mm-hmm. I love that shit because of the fantasy.
Yeah, the grays. And so much stuff keeps coming out about them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my God. I think we have to do an alien episode sometime soon. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's coming out that the U.S. government has, in fact, had contact with UFOs, and they have, quote-unquote, met some of these aliens, and they're not friendly, is what they're saying. But we knew that they were going to say that.
Yes.
Like, you know, like,
of course they would say that. That's in their best interest. See, this is where I'm like, okay, yes, definitely tinfoil hat. There's something more. Like, they're trying to keep. But you're right. People don't talk about that, and it just gets pushed to the back. People don't talk about the fact that, the government has recently. Yeah,
I know. I think it's because we've had so many hopeful moments where, like, there's only maybe, like, you get your hopes up about aliens, like, only 9 times. And the government was just waiting for us to be bored with it. And now it's actually happening. So everybody's kind of ignoring it. But don't worry, floozies. We will have to be covering it one day. But today we are going to be talking all about castration. The snipping of the nads, baby. And I, you know, like a freak, I did a poll over on Instagram saying, would you guys rather do castration conspiracy theories or penis conspiracy theories, because there's a lot of great ones there, like semen retention and red pill type of, like, incel theories. But by a hair, or should I say a pube?
A pube? Yeah.
The castration episode won. And this was really inspired to me because you guys did this incredible deep dive all about the history of castrados. So can you, like, TLDR that for people who don't know what that is?
Yeah, so the castrados were male soprano singers. The last one happened in, like, the 1920s. And the castrati, the reason that they even created the castrati was because the Catholic Church would not allow women to sing in choirs. They needed high, strong voices. So they castrated, cut the balls off. Well, they said they didn't, but it was naturally happening. These are just natural accidents that were happening in order to get these singers. So that's kind of the TLDR of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was just like a fascinating episode, all the way from the verbiage of castrato to castrati, yes. You know, and there's like a group of them, to this idea of how like a lot of conspiracy theories really do tie back to history and research. Uh-huh. And that's why I love a good conspiracy theorist, because they're normally a historian, they're open-minded, and anyway, there's just incredible stuff here.
I know in this episode of Fluently Forward, we are talking about penises getting cut off, but what about keeping your hair on? Okay, how's that for a little intro? Because we are sponsored this episode by a wonderful company called Hair Love. They are all about nourishing your hair. I don't know if I'm the only one, but around COVID times, maybe it was getting older, maybe it was all of the stress and putting my hair in a bun every day because I wasn't seeing anyone, I noticed I was kind of like thinning out my hair around the frame of my face. And if I put my hair back in a tight ponytail a la Gigi Hadid or Ariana Grande, there were some patches there, okay? So Hair Love is going to help you with everything that you want to grow your hair back, make it voluminous, get it to a place where you really love. So they've got a growth complex, different capsules that are going to help to nourish your hair. They have repair serums, scalp healthy brushes. They also have those scalp massagers where, like, if you want to wash your hair in the shower and really get that shampoo in there. They also have hair safe pillowcases, silk scrunchies, luxury hair towels. If you're looking to give your hair some love and nourishment, head on over to hairlove.com/fluently. That's going to get you 15% off all of the site wide products, including your first subscription order. So that is hairlove.com/fluently.
So let's first dive into the history of castration among all different forms, castrato and otherwise, and then we'll talk about how this relates to some celebrities, truly, mm-hmm. Yes. And then some fun conspiracy theories about it. So castration, there is physical castration as well as chemical castration. Physical is removing the testicles, and sometimes it's just the testicles, or you can get, which we will talk about later. Do you know what it's called when you remove both the testicles and the penis?
Oh my God. No. A crime?
A monstrosity.
Kevin's wincing.
I'll give you a hint. Okay. It's a type of drink.
Red Bull.
Oh, I'm sure it gets red. It's a healthy drink.
I'm in a hot tub.
A healthy drink.
Mm-hmm. A kibosh, no.
Think Jamba Juice.
Razzmatazz.
It's just the first thing that comes into my head.
I don't know. What is it?
Yeah. It's a smoothie because it's all smooth down there.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy?
That is so disgusting.
Mm-hmm. So when you want the Ken doll look, you get the smoothie, and that's both the testicles. And I'm so sorry, Kevin. Oh. and then chemical castration. When I just heard of that, for some reason, I thought like you dip your balls in acid. But no, it's like it's quite taking drugs or pills to deactivate mm-hmm. the testicles. Yeah. So there are a lot of moments where we're super okay with this. I mean, we do it to dogs, right? We don't really think about that. Even the idea of circumcision, I've heard a lot of discourse around, is circumcision castration? Should this be illegal to do? There's a whole episode about that. And then even with trans surgery and operations, there's mm-hmm. some form of chemicals, you know, with hormones that's going into that. So you mentioned this in your episode. Mm-hmm. Typically in history, castration was used for eunuchs. And yes. These were people who would rise to power and they would be castrated. And this was, you could trust someone who was a eunuch because they weren't trying to usurp your throne because mm-hmm. they couldn't have any heirs. Yeah. And you mentioned that they would guard the harems.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. They would guard harems like around the Ottoman Empire. Like, oh, well, we need our harems to be guarded because we don't want anyone else to fuck the kings, like, or the whatever. The woman.
Groupies,
the groupies, yeah. All the wives, the many wives. So they would hire these eunuchs, and these were people who could, protect the women, which I kind of think what's fascinating about that is the idea that there's no interest. Can there be romantic interest without a physical, like...
Yes. Well, that's something that people talk about because as we get into this episode, mm-hmm. castration has also been used sometimes for pedophiles or sex offenders
yes.
because they say getting rid of the, testosterone removes those urges. Now, in our episode about the Tudors, we talked about how Henry VIII is kind of similar to Robert Baratheon, the Game of Thrones references. There were eunuchs in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this means jack shit, but one of them did have a crush.
So okay, like, really? Okay, I think it means something. That's definitely proof.
Yeah,
that's proof. Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin, let us know. Does testosterone equal love? Like, can you love without testosterone, do you think?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
So there we go. And this was done, like you said, Ottoman Empire. This was also done pretty heavily in Korea. This is, okay. One of the ways that they castrated boys and men in Korea back in the day, it had to do with dogs. Guess how it was done. And whatever you're thinking, double it, make it worse.
Is it like a
chomp? What made the dog want to bite the penis off?
There was peanut butter on it.
Feces? They would smear, and this was according to legend, but like, how did the legend start? That they would smear, I'm so sorry, they would smear feces on the testicles and have a dog bite them off.
Why would the dog want to bite the feces?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, maybe the dog, maybe they would find like the craziest dog. Like,
and this is according to legend, feces.
So wish there was anyone I could still ask, but I mean, go to Wikipedia, man, it's in there.
Weird.
Gosh.
And there were a lot of Vietnamese eunuchs who self-castrated because they wanted to gain access to the palace and power. So imagine being so ambitious that you cut your dick off.
I'm not that ambitious. There's no way.
Negative.
Did you guys ever watch back in the day Two Girls, One Cup?
Yes.
No.
Oh, my God. Well, you heard of it?
No.
It was like this porn video that went viral where two girls shit in one cup. And it had to do with, like, feces.
Yes.
I ended up watching it. There was also another viral video around this time. This was really, like, the Wild West of the internet called the BME Pain Olympics. Have you heard of this?
I was going to bring this one up. Yes.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
Okay, so share with the class what happened.
Okay, so in the BME Pain Olympics, it's just, like, a compilation of videos, right, that you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, when you're looking at it, you don't really understand what – at least I didn't. I was probably, like – 15 when
me too when I watched these, yeah.
Which is like horrendous.
Oh.
But anyways, so I'm watching it. I didn't really know exactly what was going on. And then I see like blood and I'm like, oh, this is some kind of gory thing. But people would tell you, watch this video, and they wouldn't really tell you what the fuck it was about.
Mm-hmm.
You would just start watching it. It was blood. And then you realize it's like dicks being cut off.
Like mm-hmm. for real?
And like cut.
So
yes.
People died from this, allegedly.
But
I'm pretty sure, yeah. The things that people do, like, to go viral, you know?
But, yeah, and it was the idea that, like, there was some kind of – but it wasn't just viral, right? It was – they were kind of getting off on it.
Mm.
Right?
We'll be talking about that later because there are a group of people who actually enjoy this.
Yeah.
And it's making my hands sweaty. But
I know,
some people,
I'm so sweating.
They're like, oh, I love
both.
It.
Right? But there's fetishes everywhere, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, fascinatingly enough, we were able to see all throughout history up until today, people who are castrated actually live longer.
Oh.
So there are researchers who found 81 eunuchs. They were castrated as boys. And even at a time in history when kings typically didn't make it to age 50, these eunuchs would live to an average age of 70. And some people are saying, oh, that's because, you know, they're in the palaces, so they have more of a cushy life. But still, that's like 20 years. And they've even done studies showing that castrated male sheep will live longer than the male sheep who aren't castrated. So it's kind of led to some theories saying if you have too much testosterone in your system, does that actually shorten your lifespan? Have you guys heard of that?
I have not.
I have not either.
They do say women live longer than men.
That's
so
right.
I'm like, you know,
there's some logic to it, right?
Yeah. And I've heard that taller men have shorter lifespans because the human heart is the same size in each body, basically.
Pump
but
harder.
If you're, you know, 6'5", you have to pump that much harder than for someone who's – so find yourself a short king and, like, live long, you know? That's how I feel.
I like that.
So it wasn't just in other places around the globe where this was happening. We also saw it in the U.S., castration instead of going to prison. And like I said, forms of this being used for trans surgery and operations. We've also seen castration used as an option against sexual crime. So this is something that's happened all over the world where if you have broken laws of a sexual nature, like rape, pedophilia, you can get a chemical castration as like your punishment, basically. And sometimes this has been used in nefarious ways, right, to treat homosexuality for Alan Turing. And then what's interesting, too, is that some of these people actually report a sense of great relief when they're being castrated because they're no longer obsessively having these sexual urges or wanting to commit, I guess, sexual crimes. I think it can probably work
both ways, because we did do an episode on Alan Turing for Gay Pride, and we talked in depth about that. And for him, it was the exact opposite. It drove him.
Well, I think his
mad.
Was like ordered for him, right?
Exactly. He didn't want to do it. Yeah. It was either prison or castration, chemical castration.
What's
which
the
is
title
so sad.
Of that episode, by the way, so folks can listen?
It's called Alan Turing.
Alan Turing. Okay,
yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, the nation that killed their hero, I think is what it called.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely mortifying. And to your point, I mean, I think some people, maybe there is relief in that in some form or fashion.
Maybe, you know, it's very interesting. There's a slew of different people who have different, you know, reports on this. And there are a lot of people who have done it, or castration for pedophiles, basically. So this was a case over in Canada, Gordon Stuckless, and he was one of Canada's worst child sex offenders. They were asking for a 12-year jail sentence for him because he pled guilty to sexually abusing 18 boys when he was working as a minor hockey coach.
Oh my gosh. But he
was actually able to not go to prison because his lawyer argued he hadn't committed a crime since 1997, which was when he started chemical castration. And the stats that people come up with this for, you know, patients who undergo this treatment because they have, I don't know what you would call it, pedophilic thoughts, is that their rate of reoffending is down to 2 to 5% when normally it's 50%. So it's shown like some sort of improvement for people who have these, I don't know, pedophile urges.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of this happening with people?
That is so, you know, I was wondering, I've heard of pedophiles having like, or being chemically castrated, but I have not heard of, did he do that by himself? Did he choose to chemically castrate himself?
I think he might have done it with a doctor. And also sometimes doctors will give you certain pills for this. Sometimes they'll just give you antidepressants to curb your sex drive. And that does it for some people.
That's interesting. I've heard from friends who are trans who have taken, pills or whatever to block any testosterone from male to female. I've heard them say, yeah, my sex drive is like non-existent now.
Yes.
So that's the only thing that I can kind of relate it to. But I think that's fascinating.
Yes, that so much of like what we think is just our hormones, chemicals in our body, and then also now I'm hearing more and more about like your gut, like the
gut
bacteria
biome.
In your gut, you know, and it all comes together to like give you your personality, your urges, your kinks, like all of that.
Let's like measure everyone's gut biome.
Yeah, right? Like your gut biome, your tea, all of this.
Yeah.
So it was pretty interesting. And, you know, how they did this research is that they would, you know, find these pedophiles who chose to be a part of these different, research experiments, basically. And they would measure your penile response to images of kids, you know, before you took these drugs, during, after. And I get that that's how you find conclusive images, but I'm also like, imagine being the person running that study, like where in, you know, the middle of Pennsylvania is this happening in a basement somewhere? And like, how do you measure a penile response? Like you put like a glove over it or something?
What if you have stage fright?
Yeah.
You know, and you're not going to
perform,
yeah.
Right?
So, like, maybe you still are, like, attracted to this. Like, yeah, what do you do? Give them a sock and just tell them to put it on? Okay, does it go to the blue line or the yellow line?
For me, it seems like it would be much more accurate not to measure a reaction of a penis, but to, like, do more, like, of an MRI.
Brain scan,
or
And maybe they did that as well, but when they just said using phallometric testing to measure the penile response to images of kids.
Triggering. That's interesting, right?
Oh, my God.
Phallometric. I
didn't
know that
penis, was like, goes inside, and they're like, oh, you're a super not pedophile. Like, here's a gold star. So.
Yeah, but you knew what phallometric was the minute she said it.
Yeah.
You've never heard it.
So weird. I didn't know it was a fucking, like, measuring, right?
They didn't teach me that in school.
No.
Today's episode of Fluently Forward is brought to you by Sakara. You've heard me talk about them before. They've got these fantastic signature nutrition programs where they basically send you meals that are ready to eat, deliver to your door, and they help you to look and feel your best. They're not into calorie counting. They're a nutrition program that's like having a nutritionist and a chef in one, and their meals are incredible every time I eat them. I'm looking at the menu right now just to get your taste buds dripping here. For breakfast, they have options like orange blossom waffles. Come on now. They've got smoky, sweet, seasonal bowls with like wild rice blends, white beans, walnuts, dried cranberries. You know when you look at a menu and you just kind of start to drool? These meals are all sent to you, and you can pick too how many you want. Do you want them once a week? Do you want them every day a week? Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Maybe you just want to check out some of their supplements or their different snacks. They've got granola, power bars. They've got probiotics, vitamins, wellness teas. You can check all of that out at sakara.com/fluently, or you can use code fluently at checkout. That's going to get you 20% off of your first order. So if you're interested in trying out Sakara, sakara.com/fluently, 20% off your first order.
And like you mentioned, they have used castration throughout history for castrato singers, which leads us to this question. Was Michael Jackson chemically castrated? When you think of conspiracy theories involving Michael Jackson, what do you normally think of?
The first thing I think of is the chemical castration to keep his voice higher. That is the first thing I think of.
And Kevin, had you heard of that?
I have. Yeah. And I,
before we get into the evidence, yes or no, do you think he was chemically castrated?
Honestly, it would not surprise me.
Okay.
I'll say yes.
Say yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to say yes too. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I love it. I'm not going to say because I already know, okay. I mean, or at least the evidence. So, you know, obviously Michael Jackson, he was a young singer with the Jackson 5. He had that impressive high vocals, his voice along with his dancing, everything about him. People are just enthralled with it still to this day. He's got such an impressive high pitch. Now, there were also obviously rumors about him being weird with children. Yes. Was he attracted to children? Was he molesting these children? And not to be crass, but in the research that I've done with Michael Jackson and the documentaries I've watched, there's always allegations of him sleeping in the bed with children, wanting them to sleep over, going on trips with them, and asking them to like bend and spread, but no allegations of like rape or penetration, at least in what I've seen from the documentaries. Now, granted, you're still abusing someone. Right. If that's what happens, you're still molesting them.
Yeah.
But I was always very intrigued by like, you know, exactly what allegations these are. So that was another thing that people were saying. Maybe that's why, because he was chemically castrated. So maybe he had the smoothie down there, you know, maybe he didn't have urges for sex or anything like that. And another thing that led people to wonder about this was that his former doctor, Conrad Murray, said that he was castrated as a child by his father. So this is the doctor who was convicted of involuntary manslaughter because of the, you know, painkiller dose for Michael Jackson. He called Michael Jackson's father one of the worst fathers to his children in history. Quote, the fact that he was chemically castrated to maintain his high-pitched voice is beyond words. And this was also a claim that he made in his book in 2016. He accused Michael Jackson's father of forcing Michael to get on hormone injections at age 12 to cure his acne and prevent his voice from changing. So there were also other people, too. There's a French doctor named Alan Branchereau, who in 2011 said that Jackson clearly had the voice of a castrato. And he pointed to, once again, this hormone called cyproterone, which is used to treat acne and shut down male hormones. Wow. Now, you guys listened to, like, some of those castrato singer voices. Mm-hmm. Did it give you Michael Jackson energy?
Well, that's actually something that we had talked about. Michael Jackson, from being a child, was incredibly gifted, no matter what. And maybe the best castrati, like we talked about, one of the biggest rock stars, like castrati guys, had like the voice of an angel. The guy that you can hear the recording of, no.
It's a little scratchy.
It's scratchy and like eerie. Eerie.
People on Reddit, where like you get your balls chopped off and you still can't sing that
well.
But
exactly.
Like, you know?
Like you made a mistake. But I think to answer your question, I do feel like there is some similarity in tone. I mean, clearly I don't think anybody was singing as much as well as Michael, but yeah, I think I feel like that tone.
It's the breath.
Yeah.
Like he has the lungs of a grown adult, right, man?
Right.
So you can sustain the notes for longer. Like the notes that he could sustain and hold, like it was insane.
Yeah, and a lot of people too speak to his soft-spoken speaking voice, but then people also say, A, everyone in the family had that voice, and then also B, that soft-speaking voice was something that they put on for show, and people who knew Michael, he didn't talk like that in private.
I could see that.
Which I think is interesting. So that's kind of the research that points towards him being chemically castrated. Now, the research that goes against it is that it seems like he did go through puberty as normal. At one point, I think he had a beard, which I think is something that you wouldn't be able to grow if you were castrated. Yeah. Also, there was a coroner's report. Now, obviously, there's a lot of, you know, even with, like, any famous celebrity death, there's always so many different, like, one guy said this, the other guy said that. We called in four different doctors. But his coroner's report found, quote, the genitalia are those of an adult male. The penis appears uncircumcised. The extremities show no swelling, joint deformity, or abnormal mobility. And his larynx seemed normal. And they said both testes are in the scrotum and are unremarkable and without trauma, which I know is like a technical,
unremarkable.
Yeah, I think that just means like there's nothing.
Nothing to say.
Nothing to say. Yeah. But like even in death, I'd be like, damn, say my balls are great, you know?
They're the fucking most remarkable.
So then some people think that this theory of him being chemically castrated popped up as a rumor to strengthen his case against having physically molested these young boys. So maybe people started spreading this to say, oh, he couldn't have, you know, he was castrated, so he had no urges whatsoever. But, you know, if it was true, wouldn't they have brought it up in all of the trial courts that it happened?
Well, and I agree. I think they would have.
Yeah.
Just to at least say, look, there's no way that I can actually like molest a child. But this, another thing that comes up, and I don't know, I'm still on team chemically castrated Michael Jackson. Because his children, none of his children were, like, biologically his, right?
There's a lot of rumors around that. So, like, right, some people on one side say, well, he had children, you know? And then people on the other side say, those aren't his. There's rumors of him full-on saying to somebody that he picked out of all of his friends the best one whose sperm, you know, would be that of his child. So, it's just, it's really hard to tell. I mean, if you go by the coroner's report, it's not hard to tell at all.
Right.
But if, you know, you put that tinfoil hat on.
Yeah, because maybe not physically, but chemically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, what's the difference?
Like, yeah, because I don't think you don't.
You would still have the testes.
You still have the physical
but not the
appearance.
Hormones, right? Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. So I think team chemical castration, I think, is still possible.
Yeah. So gosh. I think we'll never really know, but I think that there's compelling evidence on both sides. So, you know, floozies, let us know over on Instagram or on the Reddit what you think.
Today's episode of Fluently Forward is sponsored by a wonderful new sponsor called Miracle Made. If you are like me, you might be a hot sleeper, okay? You know, it's not the sexiest trait to have, but what can I say? Sometimes I sweat at night, and my body does this really cool thing of where if I'm sleeping by myself, I don't sweat, and then the minute someone cute is staying over, it's like freaking waterworks. I don't know why. I don't know why it happens like that. But if you also want to have better regulated temperature when you sleep, check out these Miracle Made sheets. They are inspired by NASA. They use silver infused fabrics. It's very cool technology. So not only will they help to regulate your temperature as you sleep, but also they prevent 99.7% of bacterial growth, which makes them stay cleaner for longer and fresh, three times longer than other sheets. So just because I now have in-unit laundry in Denver doesn't, you know, mean that I want to use it every day. So you can go to trymiracle.com/fluently to try them out today. And if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use the promo code FLUENTLY at checkout, you will get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Absolutely wild. So head on over to trymiracle.com/fluently and check out these sheets.
There was also one old-timey singer who has a blind about castration. Any guesses?
All-time singer that what?
Has a blind item, a little piece of gossip about castration involving him.
Let's see. An old-timey. Don't know.
What's old-timey?
Yeah, let me, I'm looking up when he
not like
was
Little
around.
Richard.
He was born in 1903. He was an American singer, actor, TV producer, and businessman. One of the most influential.
Bob Hope.
No.
Frank Sinatra.
He does.
Oh, Mickey Rooney.
I'll be home for Christmas.
Isn't that Bing Crosby?
Yep.
That he was chemically castrated?
Now, this is just a rumor.
Oh, my God.
It says this male Academy Award winner was known for his singing voice. What is not known to many is that to keep his career going and his voice, he had himself castrated. There are rumors that the castration was actually his way of preventing sexual urges he had for men, which he thought was morally wrong. Bing Crosby.
What?
I mean, who knows? It's just a rumor. But from what I have heard in my research is that I thought the idea of chemical castration would be like trauma, like you're scarred mm-hmm. for life. It really is just taking a pill every couple of months. So then people were even saying in discussing Michael Jackson, could this be something where like he took the pills as a kid, but then he stopped taking them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you only get like halfway chemically castrated. But there we go.
Interesting.
Now,
I feel like people would go to that extreme, though. Like, I feel like yeah. that's a plausible
blind
thing.
Yeah.
Yes, because I think so, especially celebrities or people in the public eye would go to that extreme.
I mean, if they get plastic surgery on every other part of their body and take Ozempic and Adderall and cocaine, who's to say they wouldn't take another drug just to help them out, you know?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
It is interesting. Now, we'll give Kevin a break from sweating because we're going to talk about FGM, which is female genital mutilation.
No, I'm kidding.
Alicia, what have you heard about FGM?
Okay, so FGM... I know that oftentimes it's used as a mean, well, okay, it's used as a means to control women. So mm-hmm. like the clitoris is cut off mm-hmm. and so women are, and then the labia and everything's like sewn together. Mm-hmm. So like the vaginal opening's even tighter.
Mm-hmm.
And
does that actually prevent sexual intercourse?
It doesn't. It just prevents a woman from feeling any pleasure from it.
Mm. And they, like, cut it open for sex and childbirth.
Yeah. So because it's been, like, super taught. Like, basically all you can do is pee out of it.
I remember having to do a paper on this in college. Oh, and a lot of it's done kind of similar to that idea of circumcision before the age of 5. And you're right. It's all about, like, controlling women's sexuality, ideas about purity and modesty. And this is done mostly in... Northern African countries, yeah. Middle Eastern, Asian countries. Sometimes it's done just culturally. Sometimes, like in Egypt, there's a little bit of religion tied into it. But there are instances of it being done in 19th century Europe and the United States, and they would remove the clitoris to treat insanity and masturbation, which, like, that's just me on a Sunday afternoon. Like, insanity and masturbation? Are you kidding?
That's like old school hysteria.
Yes.
Oh, hysteria. You're hysteric.
Yeah.
Let's cut off your clitoris.
Yeah, that'll calm you down, you know?
No fucking way. We need some kind of release, my friend.
They called it a clitorectomy, whatever. It would also be a cure for nymphomania or... lesbianism, you know, it's just like absolutely crazy.
That so lesbianism insane. Disease is just, yeah.
Just cut that clitoris right off.
Spreading fast. And there was even one creepy doctor, James C. Burt. He was a gynecologist in Dayton, Ohio. And what he would do is not only would he perform these FGMs, but he had something called the love surgery.
Oh, my God.
Where he would reposition the vagina and the urethra and remove the hood on the clit, which kind of like exposed he would move basically all the parts a little bit up more. And he said he did this for intercourse in the missionary position. Quote, women are structurally inadequate for intercourse. And he said he would turn them into, quote, horny little mice. So he did this surgery to basically, like, put the clit, like, on your pubic mound and, like, move things around. People died.
Of course they died.
But it's the love surgery.
I'm just doing it for women's own good.
Yes, I know better.
Of course. Did he know? Did Dr. Love Surgery? Like, did he fucking know that there's more than one position?
Yeah, you ever heard of doggy or asshole, you know? Like,
good Lord.
Imagine when he finds out what anal is. He's like, there's no clit anywhere near the butt. We have to put
who
one
am I gonna
there,
move
too.
That?
Cut it in half and just sew it right up.
There's a clit on your shoulder and your thumb and everywhere. It's not structurally accurate. So,
holy shit.
In 2008, the World Health Assembly did pass a resolution to eliminate FGM, but, you know, unfortunately, it still happens in a lot of places all over the world. Now, let's move on to more of a conspiracy theory that some people out there believe, probably the 5Gers. Have you heard of the theory of cell phone radiation affecting men's sperm count?
Yes, and I think about it all the time. I am not kidding you, you guys. I'm so embarrassed to say this, but, like, well, I'll be in a car, and I'll, like, put the phone, like, between my legs, and I'll go, yeah. And I'll grab the phone, I'll, like, put it. I think about that all the time.
You're paranoid about it, huh?
I am. Like, I don't want my nads nuked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if I, like, play Candy Crush for too long, my eyes will start to water. Like, I do think the phone is dangerous, and I also have a screen time of, like, 10 hours a day. So, like, I'm a hypocrite, but there seems something a little funky, right?
I mean, okay, let's be honest. All of this stuff it has to have some kind of effect on people.
Exactly. Yes.
We just don't know what the effect is.
Yes.
Well, it could be all the cancers in the world. It could be 100 million things.
Who knows?
Who knows?
There has to be something.
Something.
We're not just going to be like, oh, yeah, no, there's shit. Like, I could fucking, what is it called when you, like, tap your, I just got an iPhone, like, not even a year ago.
Bluetooth, AirDrop.
AirDrop!
Yeah.
Like, I just be like, oh, here's the password, Shannon.
Yeah.
And you get it right away.
Oh, my nipple. Oh, it fell off.
Exactly.
Your aim's off, babe.
Like, I would not surprise
me. Maybe. Well, as, you know, with most of these conspiracy theories, we'll cover a little bit of both sides. So, basically, there was a study done by Korean scientists saying that cell phone use and exposure to radio frequency radiation can harm male fertility. And check this out. They said that roughly 1 in 10 men in the U.S. is infertile. Now, I don't know if it's a thing of, like, geriatric pregnancy where it's like, okay, you can still have kids, but maybe it's just harder. So I don't know what the definition is. But then there was a scientific review. This was published by the University of Exeter researchers in 2014. And the study showed that men who kept their phone in a pocket or at their waist had lower sperm motility and viability than those who did not. And this had findings from 18 peer-reviewed studies, and it had about 4,000 sperm samples. Now, there are different authors who are kind of combating this. Obviously, there's other things that could have impacted this. They said there could have been variables, lifestyle factors, so smoking, excess weight, alcohol consumption, or even tight underwear that can harm sperm quality.
Keeps it too warm because your balls. That's why your balls are.
Yeah, like they hang to like
keep them
regulate.
Cooler. But then when you have tight tidy whities, then it keeps them all up there and tight and warm, and so you don't produce enough. You know,
okay, but like, what's the better looking underwear?
Oh, definitely not tidy whities.
No,
boxer
no.
briefs. A
boxer
little.
Briefs.
But like the shorter legged boxer briefs.
Yeah.
You know, those look better.
Yeah.
Who cares about your sperm count?
You only need a few.
Don't wear boxers. Like there are, Dave, sorry, but I'm throwing you under that. When we first started dating, he was wearing boxers, but they weren't the boxers that, like, the seam goes up the butt. It goes, like, towards the side, so it looks like a diaper. I'm like, this is changing right now.
When
so
it outlines that ass,
We wanted to outline the ass, not look like a diaper.
Yeah.
But, like, honestly, sperm count or aesthetics? Aesthetics.
Well, it depends on what your goal is for the day.
That's true.
That's how I feel. But I know, like, for vaginal health, you're supposed to wear, like, cotton undies. But, like, you go into Victoria's Secret, like, nothing is cotton in there. It's, like, lace, spandex, and, like, you know.
And the most unbreathable fabrics possible.
Yes. So, I mean.
See, they actually had some studies then that confirmed my paranoia about nuking my nads.
I mean, yeah, but, yeah. I mean.
We'll do the other side too.
Okay.
Give you a little bit of hope here.
All right.
So there is another doctor, James M. Hotelling, and he says, I've never seen conclusive data that would lead me to advise a patient against carrying a cell phone in his pocket. So he cautioned against this study, saying that one, infertility is just a common issue. It affects one in every six couples who are trying to conceive. He said that there were some study flaws because these participants were selected usually from a fertility clinic, so they kind of already had a selection bias there. And then he also said that sperm count varies all the time. It can change from hour to hour, day to day, month to month. So if you want it to be accurate, you'd have to measure, you know, these little swimmers for like a long time.
Right. That makes total sense.
So who knows? But like, I could see there being something to
it. Again, yeah. Plausible.
Yeah. Okay. So we can we like do our own? We can have all the men we know.
Yeah.
Kevin, you too. We'll have everyone measure.
Control. Do you want to be the one who has your cell phone? Okay. So you'll be the one with the flip phone. And then we'll find someone on Craigslist to like sit on a cell phone all day.
Yeah. All you have to do is just sit there. Nothing else. Measure your sperm count.
Take your top off and show me that bra, baby, because this episode of Fluently Forward is brought to you by Honeylove. They've got bras, they've got shapewear, and their bras are fantastic. They actually feel comfortable. And I don't know about you, but lately, all of the tank tops that I buy, I feel like everything's getting more expensive, right? Eggs and like the quality of everything's going down at the same time. All of the t-shirts I get lately have been so thin and so see-through that if I have like a bulky bra with like bulky underwire, it will cut through some of those tight tank tops I have and just kind of look like an undercarriage, which is awkward. The Honeylove bras are fantastic. They feel comfortable. You don't feel like you have to take them off right away. I've got a crossover bra of theirs that I love because it doesn't use underwire, but it like still has support and you feel like you're sucked in, just nice and comfortable. They also have a lot of great shapewear that also goes together and matches. I sometimes just wear it around the house, and to me, it looks like lingerie. I'm like, it's a little bit of a set. So if you want to try out any of Honeylove's bra, they've got the crossover bra, the V bra, they've got tons of different shapewear and tons of different options if you want like the thong, the boy short, etc. You can save 20% off of Honeylove if you go to honeylove.com/fluently. So once again, that is honeylove.com/fluently and get 20% off, get cinched, snatched, lifted thanks to Honeylove.
Now, the last thing I want to talk to you guys about is something that I did not expect to find. This really just blew my mind. Have you heard of a castration cult? Shorthand for genital nullification, they're called the Nullos. Have you heard of Nullo culture?
No.
I have never heard of Nullos. When you were saying, oh, there's like something, you know, we're going to be talking about this, I thought BME Pain Olympics, and I started writing that down, and then you talked about it.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was. I have please tell me.
So there's a whole group. I need to see if like they have a subreddit or something. But yeah, Nullos, Nullos. And this is a subculture who meets through online forums, and they are obsessed with cutting off their dick. Now, this really came in February 2022. This was like a big news item because the police in North London raided a cult. So there are some people who are just like, you know, they do this for fun. And then there are some people who do this in a sinister way. So we'll talk about the creepy ones first. So the Nullo cult was in North London. They arrested seven men in a basement flat. They spent 3 days there, like camping out and like getting ready to arrest them. It was a man who was 44. There were six other people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. And basically, this was a cult where they would castrate themselves on live footage. And it was pay-per-view. So they were almost like these cam boys.
It's like a snuff film.
Yes. Ew.
Yeah.
It's a snuff film for your dick.
Oh, my God.
So the ringleader, let's get a little bit creative. He had a nickname for himself. What do you think he called himself?
Oh, Jesus. The dickinator.
The dick disappearer, like the swallowing snake.
The Terminate. Yeah, it would be something like terminate.
Dick
like,
and, yeah, the
dick out.
Cock
dick done. Done. Dick. The cock destroyer.
So he called himself the eunuch maker.
Oh.
And that's he had nice. The operation himself. So, you know, what a good leader, you know?
He yeah. really, like, leads by example.
Exactly. Speak like me. Talk like me. Cut your dick off like me. So, basically, yeah, this was a basement flat. They had an adult channel that they boosted via a Twitter account. You really can, like, post anything on Twitter.
Oh, my gosh.
The man was Norwegian. He was 44 years old. And, yeah, they were, like, all these people down there that they were doing where – and this is where I heard of the term a smoothie, where you get a fully smooth groin down there. But – the Nullo movement has grown in popularity. So that was a cult associated with the Nullo movement. Okay. And this is basically, you know, there's extreme cases where people are castrated for sexual desires or cannibalistic desires, which is interesting. But the majority of people remove their genitals because they don't identify as male or female. So more than half of these people in the Nullo's community are they use amateur cutters, so doctors or veterinarians who will do it for them, or they do it themselves. So guess how many voluntary Nullos there are worldwide?
To do this procedure?
Yeah, to self-castrate.
I'm going to guess.
2,000.
I'm going to say 20.
10 to 15,000. But the true number is unknown, but this is how many are, you know?
Are they for sure castrated? Like...
It's, I mean, that's what it says.
They, yeah, like in order to join, they like show a picture of their castrated.
Yeah, like
smoothie.
Your ID card is just yeah. like your nub. You yeah. put like a fingerprint on it or something yeah. to like get in. So they said that 2/3 never tell anyone that they have no genitalia, including their families.
Wow.
Now there is a Japanese artist named Mao Sugiyama, who became a famous Nullo in 2012 after having his genitals removed, freezing them, and then cooking and serving them at a banquet. So, have you heard of this?
I did hear about this.
Shut up. What did you hear?
Well, I heard that that had happened. It was like, because none of the people knew that that's what had happened.
He served it without telling them.
Oh, wait. No, that must have been a different story.
Okay,
then.
Okay.
So tell me yours first. What
well,
did you hear
I
about?
Remember hearing, like, it could just
it
be
kind
now.
Of is ringing something for
yeah,
me, too.
Yeah, like, that it was, like, somebody cut it, served it, nobody knew that it was actually, like, their genitalia.
Holy shit.
But it was, like, also the act of knowing that people were eating their genitalia, like, got them off, like, not only taking...
Uh-huh. Got that nub hard.
got my
that
smoothie
nub
hard. Got my smoothie smooth.
My smoothie's dripping.
But it was basically that, like that's what it was, and like and it fucking disgusting. But this is different, apparently.
Yeah. Well, this one was a whole shindig. So this artist Mao was like very I think he was already very well known as an artist. You know, like had a little bit of fame, and. So he first, all of this shit happens on Twitter. It's like so rancid. So he first announced the event on Twitter, and he offered to cook his penis for a guest for 800 pounds. Which, by the way, what would you say your penis is worth?
More than 800 pounds.
If you were to put a number on it, what would it be?
Yeah, is there a number that you would trade for your penis?
Negative, first of all. But if I was like I had no choice and I had to put a price on
yeah.
it, it's
millions.
Millions,
right? Yeah. Millions.
Yes.
So he was part of the Nullos. I guess he self-castrated and then as like part of like art performance. So first he said, okay, 800 pounds. But then he's a benevolent Nullo. He said, you know what? Let's split the meal between 5 guests. So he charged guests around 160 pounds per person to eat the meal, which, by the way, like a penis isn't huge. So splitting it between 5 people, like does each person get like half an inch? Because it's not hard.
It's like an amuse bouche. It's
just like little like truffle shavings of like little penis
little
shavings
bite.
On your pasta. Yeah.
With like a nice green foam on top mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah. And like some essence of smoke that like wafts over it. And you pair it. What type of alcohol do you think pairs yes. well with penis?
Oh, a good red.
Yeah, a full body red.
Yeah.
Full body without red. One piece, you know? Yeah. So he garnished this meal with mushrooms and parsley. And he also had it at some sort of event where those five people ate the penis. I can't believe I'm saying this.
Say that,
the five people.
Yeah, ate the penis, but other people were also at that dinner eating like octopus and like ostrich. Like it was some sort of weird ass dinner party. Police did charge him with indecent exposure because I guess cooking your penis is indecent exposure, which is like absolutely crazy to me. And he made the guests sign a waiver so he wouldn't be held responsible if they became ill.
Wow.
I have so many questions.
Yeah. I don't know if I can answer them all, but let's hear
it. So here's the first question. I don't think anybody can answer, but
not even God.
I'm dying to know how he came up with the value. And then the fact that he had five people and he split it to $130 or whatever that was. Like, how did that happen?
Oh, also, do you want to know the demos of the people who ate it? Like, who these freaks are who signed up to pay to eat penis?
Are they eccentric billionaires or are they, like,
later they go into the submarine. Yeah. At the bottom of the Titanic, it's thick, and they're like, I have to go. So we had a married couple. We had a manga artist, a woman who was 32, and an event planner who was aged 22.
A manga artist, I would get.
I guess that's – oh, no, that is five people.
So I guess you don't have to be rich to be eccentric. And it's not like it was $1 million. It was 160.
Okay, I'm sorry, but if you guys could pay 160,
to eat a penis? You do it? Absolutely not.
I would try it.
I mean, it could be a business expense if I talk about it on the podcast.
Come on.
No, here's the question. Try it. Would you want to eat the penis of a man you admire or a man you hate? You know?
I think that it would taste better if I hated him.
Ooh.
So it's a hate eat?
Yeah, like a hate fuck.
Well, a hate snack. But yeah. Any other questions that you have about this?
Let's see. Okay.
What
did it taste like?
Oh, they did say it tasted like chicken, but that's what everyone says about everything,
everything,
you know?
Tastes like chicken.
Yeah.
Especially when it's covered in the green film and the mushrooms. And
yeah, the mushrooms and the parsley, so I'm sure it had like a savory.
It was probably like a fucking, an amuse boot.
Amuse bouche,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like it was.
Mm-hmm. In a little Japanese spoon, so you just like, you know, one little bite.
You guys honestly like would not try it.
Absolutely not.
No, I think I would.
I would, yeah.
Oh.
Now, here's the question. Would you try clit if there was a little FGM meal?
Was it consensually done? Was she okay with doing it?
Yeah, let's say for both of these it's consensual.
Yes. Then yes.
Oh, I'm not eating clit. Are you, Kevin?
Are you kidding me?
No, would we eat butthole? We have to round it out.
I would eat a butthole.
The unholy trinity. It's kind of like octopus or calamari. You deep fry it, marinara sauce, a little ring, you know?
Just a little brown ring.
Sorry, I'm not.
This is not the first time a conversation like this happened.
A human.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah. I would try it.
I can't do it. Although we had an episode where people had to eat themselves. Yeah.
Eat people.
Or eat people, not themselves, I guess.
Okay. Consensually, I'm guessing.
It was like life or death.
Yeah.
So that might be my exception. Yeah. But just to go to a restaurant and have an amuse-bouche dick, I just couldn't possibly do it.
Yeah, usually I have dick after dinner, not during.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so that is our castration episode. And if you guys liked this, if you didn't freak out and refuse to
listen,
because there were moments I got clammy, let us know, because there are tons of conspiracy theories out there on like sex and penises and vaginas. I am always fascinated. Have you guys heard of semen retention? How would you describe semen retention?
That's where a guy like doesn't for a while, but it's like that's like a sexual kink where it's like, ooh, try to not come for as long as possible.
And then when you do,
it's like
it's
a monster,
it's a geyser.
And I've heard it's also like almost a form of discipline too. And
yes,
there are these it's almost like conspiracy theory wellness mixed with a little incel sprinkle, where these guys online will be like, semen is life force, which like, okay,
yes,
I can kind of see that,
I
right?
hear that.
But then they'll be like, and women, because it's always comes down to like women or like a minority being the devil, like most of these conspiracy theories. And they're like, women are succubuses who try to take our life force, you know? So, you know, all they want is our cum. So let's not masturbate for a bit. And all of these guys online will be like no fap for a couple months. And they share these stories about how, oh my God, like I haven't masturbated in months. But now everywhere I go, women look at me and they're drawn to me because I'm filled with so much life force. And it's like, well, maybe it's just the fact that like, you're not watching porn, so like you've been working out more and going out and social and like volunteering and like doing shit with your life. Anyway, but there's a bunch of fascinating conspiracy theories on that. So floozies, let us know. And Alicia and Kevin, where can everyone find the Bizarre AF to listen to? Because your podcast has been like my latest obsession. I love every
Thank
episode.
Thank you. You can find us on thebizarreaf.com. We're also the Bizarre AF on TikTok, on Instagram, anywhere you type in the Bizarre AF, you can find us. We just did a Barbie episode this month, and then we'll be having our Tudor, Death and Tudors episode with you coming up. So that was a lot of fun to record.
And we're on every platform, and we do do a video version, which you can catch us on. If you're a Spotify listener, that'll come up on YouTube and our website, and we theme out on our topics, which is, you know, like Shannon was saying, why we look like I look like a hot elf.
Yes. Your costumes are fantastic. I loved the dressing up for the Barbie episode as well. And if anybody wants to round out this episode with another one, the castrato one you guys
did. Yeah, castrato.
If, you know, you're not sick to your stomach yet about the idea of nads being cut off, go check that out. So thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us. Thanks. Thank you both for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And we will see you next Monday for another episode of Fluently Forward. Bye, guys.